Hello and welcome to Growing Up B2B. I'm Ed D'Elia, president of D'Elia Associates, the place where B2B brands go to grow. For over 60 years, and now across two generations, we've been helping B2B companies achieve next-level growth through brand distinction, quality lead generation, and sales enablement. Growing Up B2B was created for family business leaders who are passionate about growth, legacy, and making a lasting impact. Whether it's a multi-generational legacy or multiple family members working together, there's something truly magical about blending business with family. And we want to celebrate that right here on Growing Up B2B. So be sure to stick around to the end of the show and find out how you can be our next guest. Okay, let's get into it. Hello and welcome to another episode of Growing Up B2B. I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, the second generation president of D'Elia Associates, the place where B2B brands go to grow. Today's episode is a celebration of legacy, leadership, and longevity. And it's a rare treat to sit down with a fifth generation sibling team that's carrying a 106-year-old company forward into the future. Brielle and Tom Frieda lead Brewster Washers, a precision washer and spacer manufacturer founded in 1919 by Bill Brewster in Newark, New Jersey. Over the decades, the company has stayed in continuous operation, moving to its current Fairfield location in 1957, navigating multiple transitions as it continues to drive forward. Brielle and Tom quite literally grew up around the business. As kids, they worked summers at Brewster Washers. They overlapped with Catherine Brewster, whom they regard as family, their grandfather, who stepped in from the metal sales world to become foreman, and their father, who took the reins before his passing in 2023. And now, with deep respect for those who came before, Brielle and Tom are shaping the next chapter with clarity, care, and innovation. Brielle, Tom, welcome to Growing Up B2B. It's an honor to have you both here today.
Thank you. It's an honor as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Awesome. Hey, let's start with the root. What's it like to be fifth generation of a company with a 106-year legacy? What does that mean to the both of you? Brielle, go ahead. You go first.
Yeah, it's truly remarkable. It's one of the coolest things that I think I've ever been a part of my entire life. And it's captivating.
Captivating. Tom, what would you add to that?
A lot of pressure. No, it's good pressure because the pressure keeps us moving forward. Strive for better and strive for more and always do the best possible.
And I'll echo that sentiment because I'm only a second gen, so I'm a baby compared to your situation. But I'll tell you, early in my career, I was talking with a business consultant at some sort of business function. And he said, I told him what I was doing and I was just starting out. And he said, 85 to 90% of family businesses fail from transfer one generation to the next. I was like, thanks for that stat. I needed that. I needed to hear that. Yeah, that's great. Thanks, man. Yeah, so I understand what that's about. Going back, you both worked at Brewster, like in high school, you started to get exposure to the company and you had that rare chance to overlap with really multiple generations. So I think Catherine was still around at that point, who's technically not family, but you regard as kind of family. And I think was your grandfather in play? Okay. Yep. And was your dad too?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All at one point, Catherine, I remember sitting on her lap as a young kid, way before high school and everything. And I would always say, Catherine, draw me a heart. Maybe it wasn't related to business, but I always knew her as Aunt Catherine growing up until the truth that we weren't blood, but we were family.
Found that out later.
And then alongside my grandfather and also our grandmother, she worked here as business secretary.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes. And yeah.
Yeah. Then our father came along. Our father had his own business for a while out of college. Mm-hmm. And then he ran it actually out of this building as well. So as that, he was in the printing industry. So as printing kind of went out of style, he was always involved here. He worked through high school and college, just like we did. And then as, like I said, his business kind of was seeing that printing wasn't going to be the way of the future anymore. He decided to step back in here and led the company from typewriters to literally the computer. He brought them from the 1900s into the 21st century. And we've been here, like Brielle said, before high school, we were born here. We were here in diapers.
Yeah.
We have pictures of us having birthday parties here in the lunchroom.
Yeah.
It's like Brielle said, our grandparents both worked here. Catherine was here. Marguerite, we had a little bit overlap with as well before she passed. That was Catherine's sister.
Yeah, it was a second home.
It literally was a second home.
Anytime we were sick, we came here with dad. He brought us here. We hung out in the office and Yeah, they took care of us.
Yeah.
That's funny. That's wild. So how would you say that's kind of shaped your perspective on the business today? What did that do to shape your perspectives, having that exposure to all of that?
I think it's shaped us into who we are today. Mm-hmm. I think we're very family oriented. And now I have a daughter myself who does come here and run around in the office and eats in this cafeteria. So it's just shaped us into who we are and to really value family and how much love they had for this business.
Mm-hmm. Tom, would you follow it up with?
Yeah, I would follow it up with pride. That's what we have a lot of, because we got to see literally how everything has progressed from the old way of doing it to the new way of doing it, which we still do. We do both ways of the business of stamping washers, and our father brought us into the new age of EDM. So we're literally melding the two generations and the businesses together.
So not every company makes it, as I said before, to the second generation, let alone the fifth. So what would you say has allowed Brewster Washers to endure for over a century now? What is it?
I think that every generation has brought something new, but then also every generation has led our employees, and we take care of our employees, and retainability has really been huge. And to keep it going, they just loved what they did and it showed in every day. Everyone always was smiling when we walked in here. Everyone was always having a good time. It was a place of business, but also a place of humor and funny. And there was always jokes being made and pranks happening. And yeah, it's one of those. Yeah.
Would you say the culture is still that way today, Tom? Is it still kind of a very fun culture?
Yes, no. We value our employees. We reinvest into our employees and into the business. And that is probably one thing that I think from generationally that we've learned is you take care of your employees will benefit from success. And like you said, we're fifth generation. It's 106 years now. Their recipe was worth something. So we're following that as much as we can with some changes here and there. As business evolves, you have to grow and you have to change. But we've always stuck true to the core values of the business that the Brewsters instilled in the business. And we hold it still to today. As far as like products go, quality is what has always kept us in business for this long. So that's our main goal, is to make sure the customer is satisfied while also making sure our business is healthy and our employees are happy.
So it's amazing to me, looking back, and from a number of the guests that I've had on the show, how much we learn simply by observation. So the two of you had this very unique opportunity to be observing multiple generations operating in the business, mm-hmm. even at a very young age, where maybe you didn't even fully understand what you were seeing, but you were seeing it. And you were seeing it every day. You were seeing the attention to quality. You were seeing the care and attention to personnel and valuing employees. And I'm guessing that somehow that seeped in pretty probably saw some bad habits too. You saw the good and the bad, and the fact that you were exposed to it most certainly probably left its stamp on both of you in different ways.
Definitely.
Yeah. So going back, it sounds like you're at pivotal points in the company's history. Your grandfather kind of stepped in, your father stepped in. What are some lessons that, in addition to quality and care for personnel, what are some other lessons that when you do a look back, say, I got that from grandpa, I got that from dad, that you'd say, that was a good one. I'm going to carry that one forward.
I think discipline. I think really diving into the fact that work comes before play and you have to work for everything and you got to earn it and you got to keep it going. And I think our father really just instilled in us to learn everything you can, work hard, and then later on you can enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Tom, how would you answer that?
Yeah, I think just echoing my sister, our work ethic comes from multi-generational and being here and seeing that. Our Catherine was here till she passed, literally till she passed. Our grandfather as well, and our father as well. There's a funny saying around here, you come in and you go out in a pine box, because it's the way that it is. Our oldest employee was here for 40 plus years.
Yeah.
He just retired about 2 years ago. Our foreman right now, he's been here for 20 plus years. So it's what we've learned is to work hard and
also love what you do. I think that shows through our work and mm-hmm. really enjoying every day, getting to work together, being here and really just striving for greatness.
Cool. Your siblings and partners in business. So let's talk about that for a bit. How do you divide and conquer? How do you divide roles and responsibilities? And how do you figure all that out? Talk about that.
Well, you've got a punching bag if you want to.
Do you want us to start banging our heads now? So I guess it goes back to out of college when I graduated, I started working here. I didn't really know where I wanted to go in life, but my dad said, hey, this is always here for you. You can work here until you figure it out. And then I fell in love with being with my dad one every day, and then also fell in love with his love for the company, and then fell in love with doing the work. And then I decided to stay. I also coached ice skating on the side. I was able to do a little bit of both. And I worked my way up. My dad's right-hand woman, she decided to leave, and he looked at me and I looked at him. I go, I guess it's my time to step up now. So I became the operations manager, got to learn about the ins and outs of the office. And I worked alongside of him, which was great. And then with him passing, I took on the role of quoting and sales and everything. And then I'll let you speak to your way of getting in here.
Yeah, just to answer your question, first off, the way we divide it is, yeah. We work together.
Yeah.
That's the way we do a lot of stuff. But Brielle is in charge. Like she said, her history, she's been here more consistently and a lot longer than I have. Our father, like she was saying, he gave us the opportunity to say, go out in the world, do whatever you want. Business is here. Go learn and bring it back. So when I came out of college, I went into the business world. And then when COVID hit, it was like, okay, what's the world doing now? We had some personal stuff with our mother going on at that time as well. So I came back here. I was just helping for some time, but the same thing. We always loved this business. We grew up around it, but being here, it brought me back to it and brought us here to today. But the way we just divide in our everyday roles is Brielle is sales, quoting,
customer
relations, all those good things. Yeah. And then on the backside of it, I support her as much as I can. I oversee a lot of the factory things going on, quality, all that good stuff.
I'd say more operations manager, making sure that things are going out on time. If there's any delays, he lets me know so I can let the customer know. So it's a team effort here. Yeah. It's really...
It took us a little bit to figure out what was going to work, just to see where the things were going to... What gears were going to work together. And we found a really good groove that we're in together, and we're happy about it. At least I am.
No, we're doing great. We're thriving. And obviously, brother and sisters, we're going to have moments where we disagree and agree, but we're learning to work through those and learning to do what's right for the business in the end, which is what we always come, which we always find our way out.
And hearing each other is a big thing too. Yeah. Seeing each other's perspectives. If we disagree on something, which is honestly, it's pretty rare at this point. We have the same vision for a lot of things that we have going forward, which is great. It helps us both strive to be better. And that's the way we're approaching things from now on.
And it sounds like a healthy division of, it sounds really you're a little bit more of, I'll call it front stage, and Tom a little bit more of the backstage, and settling into areas where, you know, you can respectively each contribute the best for the good of the business.
Yep.
You know, I was speaking with a guest recently and he kind of said, and it was an interesting scenario, his father-in-law was in the business, and he's like, he handles all of the finance. He says, because I'm just not really good at it. I'm really good at what we do. I'm really good at leading the team and leading the charge. He said, but when it comes to the numbers, my father-in-law is 100x better. That's how they define their swim lanes, if you will. And it sounds like you've got a similar modeling where you said, here's where I'm good at, here's where I'm good at, and we're going to divide and conquer.
Yeah. And I think too, we're at such a young age that yes, dividing and conquering is great right now, but we have so much more to learn within the business and room to grow both individually and together as a team. And I think that's the beauty of what is happening right now is the possibilities are unlimited. There's so many things we can do. We just have to put our heads together and be like, okay, what's best for the company? Which route should we go now? And that's how we take each day.
We're big on pivoting. Yeah. Pivot's a
we
big
always
word
have
around.
Plan A, B, and C.
There's an old mentor of mine. He's a very successful career in sales and sales leadership. And he said, what's defines the difference between a good and a great sales executive? He said, it's easy. Three ways to victory. The ones that always win have three ways to victory. The ones that always come short only had one way to victory. And that door.
That's exactly what's happening to us day to day. We always have plan B, and then we always have plan C.
Yeah. And then there's plan D, which she doesn't know about, and I just think of it in my head on the fly.
So I'm gonna ask each of you a question about the other. Okay. So I'm gonna start with Tom. Yeah. So if you think about Brielle, what's the strength that she brings to the business that really helps it thrive? What does she do that you think is really great for the business?
Woo! Just one? No. I'll give her flowers right now. She's a great leader, and she personifies that, and she knows the right direction that we need to lead into. And she's open to compromise and hearing each other out and hearing employees out and things like that. But at the end of the day, she knows the right direction. We've told you already, she was with our father for a long time, and that's who mm-hmm. we both try to exemplify. Her leadership is definitely the one thing I would give.
Okay. So now, Brianna, I'm going to ask you the same question. What's an attribute that Tom brings to the table that you are especially appreciative of?
I'm very appreciative of just one, him being my brother in general, but he brings the outside perspective. He brings the hard questions. He pushes me to my limits and then some and more. So he really helps me just open up my mind to the unthinkable. And he brings characteristics to this company that I don't know what we would do without him as well.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's great. That's great. Again, very sorry about your dad's passing. It wasn't that long ago, 2023, right?
Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate that.
And then the torch was kind of fully passed to the two of you. Take me
it was
back.
It like a candle. It wasn't a torch. It was a, okay. It was a candle. It really wasn't expected at that point.
No.
Yeah.
The torch is in the closet still.
Yeah, we're still waiting to pull that one out.
So certainly I can chart back to when my dad passed some years ago. Talk about for a minute what that moment was like and how you prepared for it both emotionally and operationally as now, you know, hey, it's our time now to fully hold the mantle of this company and lead it forward.
I think first and foremost, it was unexpected. He battled cancer for about 9 months. He had leukemia. He was in the hospital for those 9 months and he was doing well. We had a really great course of action and treatment. We went through the stem cell route and we were able to restart his body the correct way. But unfortunately, mm-hmm. he succumbed to a few different things that were going on while that process was going on. So the whole process of us taking over was way too soon in our perspectives. We weren't ready for it, mm-hmm. in complete honesty, but it's what needed to be done.
And I think we learned that from our father mm-hmm. because our grandfather, he had Alzheimer's.
Right. So his was also
sudden. And oh my God, mm-hmm. what's going on with grandpa? Oh my God. Now I have to, you know, step in and really make the hard decisions. Right. So then mm-hmm. it happened to us. And at the time I just gave birth a month before he passed. So again, 9 months in the hospital, yeah. 9 months pregnant. Yeah. There was a lot going on.
Yeah.
Fun times.
Great time. And the humor that we bring to this is because our father always taught us life's going to throw everything at you and you just have to learn to smile and push through it and enjoy life as well. So during that time, we looked at each other, we got through the hard.
Yeah.
And then we looked at each other and said, okay, buckle up. It's us. That's it. Like we have to decide now. And we jumped right in head first.
Yeah. Found the deep end pretty quick.
Yeah.
But it was definitely a learning curve for us. There was a lot of things that our father had in his head that he
didn't tell anybody.
He was a chaotic genius, if you will. It's definitely a learning curve for both of us to step in.
There's a lot
here.
Of things that I didn't know he did just to keep the business going. Department of Defense, contracts, NDAs, things that have to get done. I knew they were there, but I didn't know the depths of them. So it was really a huge learning curve for not only myself, but both of us. And to make sure that we're on track with our certifications, make sure everything is going the right way so we can continue doing business.
Keep the customer happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're still here and still rocking and going strong. Safe to say your dad would be proud of what you've accomplished. Brewster Washers really has an established probably reputation as a niche manufacturer. What are some things that you're doing now to continue that story and to continue to evolve the brand to make sure that the next generation of buyers and decision makers knows you, knows the story?
I think as we alluded to before, our father, not only bringing the office into the 21st century, he brought the company also. He invested about 12 years ago into a wire EDM, which at that time was still a piece of equipment that wasn't largely known for manufacturing, but that is the way that we've gravitated towards. We still do our stamping for our customers that require it, but for our larger intricate parts now that we do and more technical parts, we use technology to our advantage. And we've made the decision this year to follow in that footstep and in that vein, because it is our time to start adding something to the company to keep it successful and to grow it at a sustainable level. And we've seen enough need and want from our current customers and new customers that have reached out that we need to increase our manufacturing capabilities. So with that, Brielle this year found a grant process through the state of New Jersey that allowed us to gain some money. And
for small business.
Yeah. And with that, we've been able. Owned. Yeah. Women owned. Check, check. Okay. Yeah. So with that, we were able to obtain some grant money, which we are now using to purchase 3 new pieces of equipment. One that will replace something that we already currently have. One that's going to be another wire EDM that will be the biggest, largest one you can purchase with a bigger cut plate and things like that. So we can cut bigger parts and also cut more parts and do more intricate things. And then we're bringing ourselves into the CNC mill route. And we've always had hand done things like that for our tool and die making, but we're moving it to the technology area to help speed up that process to benefit the old way of doing things that we do also with stamping, but also move us into hopefully a new market with some new customers.
Wow. Wow. I did not know that about that you're into wire EDM. That's a fairly specialized piece of manufacturing there.
Yeah. And we have our father to thank for that one.
Wow. That's pretty cool. Yeah. And the CNC to, you know, improve that capacity and capability as well is pretty cool. See, I didn't know that. That's great.
That's our way forward here.
There you go. See, I'm a bit of a manufacturer. I actually know what wire EDM is. So pretty cool. So I'm going to ask another question because it just keeps coming up in every darn industry, artificial intelligence, AI. To what extent is AI, if it is, impacting your business or maybe the customers you're serving? Is it showing up yet in your space? And if so, how?
I'm going to say I don't really see it on my end dealing with current customers and new customers. Everything is still blueprint oriented when coming through my email or getting sent to me.
Still needs a human touch.
Still needs that human touch, making sure that everything is to the correct spec. I'm not really seeing it. I don't know if you are.
Yeah, from the manufacturing side, automation is definitely ways that more people do manufacturing all over the world. Mm-hmm. And it's always been there. From an artificial intelligence perspective, we don't see how that at the moment would be able to benefit with the way that we produce parts and things. Eventually down the road, when it becomes more reliable and more sustainable and more affordable at that point, potentially during the quality route, that is something that could potentially help we use technology here. We have a Keyence machine that measures all of our parts and things like that. Mm-hmm. We do trust machines to a certain extent,
sure.
But we also have our hard tool and die stuff that we check everything with. But as far as our industry that we're in currently, our vision of that at the moment isn't seen.
We don't really know how to integrate it either because I really haven't seen it in other or heard about it from other manufacturers either.
In the parts industry. Yeah, it's tough. Yeah. Like you said, we're a niche business. So moving into that way, potentially, like I said, quality is probably the only thing that would maybe make its way to us. But that's years away at this point, we think.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of things in that space are years away, despite there's people that are fairly well exposed and entrenched in AI now, our industry being one of them. But still, sometimes we forget it takes a while for the rest of the world to catch up and get on board. But I think that your mindset is probably on point with even if and when it comes, it's still going to be something of a hybrid effort where humans and technology are going to be working in concert, not unlike what you're doing now with some of the technologies you're bringing in to the operation, probably business as usual as that goes. It's the next toolkit, right?
In your
It sounds good. Always the subject of culture always comes up. So tell me a little bit about what the two of you are doing to really maintain that, I'll call it the Brewster family feel, if that is how you're defining it. But what are you doing from a culture standpoint right now to ensure that the latest generation of personnel are on board with your mission and your vision and where you're taking the company?
Yeah, I think we live by some fundamentals. We are getting clear on expectations with our employees, making sure that the quality and the customers are happy. And I think making sure that communication throughout our entire team, we only have 9 employees. Communication is huge. Mm-hmm. We can't read each other's minds. So we really thrive on communicating, making sure our employees are okay, making sure they're getting to work safe. We treat each other like family here as well. And we want to make sure that everyone is having a good day. And if you're not, leave it outside the door. Because when you step into here, you have to be on your A game. And you have to have your head on. And you got to make sure everything is going right. Because you are in a manufacturing shop. And we're trying to produce high quality precision parts. And there are natural human errors. But we try to avoid those.
Yeah. And when they come up,
we handle
it. And you handle it and you address it and you move forward, right?
Yeah.
So certainly the last few years, you've been through a lot, both personally, professionally, a lot going on. Talk about a recent challenge maybe that you faced in the near term, maybe what it was and how the two of you worked together to resolve it or overcome it, or it could have been an issue, an obstacle, a challenge that you said, or maybe it was even an opportunity you capitalized on.
It's just one challenge again. Yeah. Okay. No, I think with growing the business, we've seen growing of customers' needs and wants and desires. We're looking to do another project here at the facility to expand, because when they bought this property, they bought a double lot here in Fairfield, and we've got this great looking backyard that we keep manicured, and the landscaper loves us because he just comes and mows away. But we've always, the vision for when the business was built here was to, if they ever needed to expand, you have the land, you might as well. Mm-hmm. We're in a very manufacturing heavy area of Fairfield, which is, we're on top of other businesses. But most recently, we were going to jump into the challenge of expanding to building a new building in the lot that we have to make basically a metal warehouse to move all of our raw materials from our current inside here to make more room on the production floor for new machinery, and also to give just a little bit more space and room in here, and to reorganize and get rid of things that are from the 1900s that we don't know what they are anymore. But we also, just to get back on track cleaning up. But I think the most recent challenge is the state of New Jersey, unfortunately. We love it here. We grew up here. We have our business here. She's raising her family here. I want to raise my future family here. It's a place we want to grow and be at. But we have had to cancel a project that we've been working on for about a year and a half now with a great building company, Morton Buildings, and our engineers and everybody has been really working on hard to get us to a point of expanding and helping us build just a warehouse. That's really it. Yeah. And we've come into a lot of issues with just spending more and more money on trying to solve the problem. But the state deemed us in a wetland area. And when you hear wetlands, you can't do anything. And in order to do that, we were going to have to invest more money. And it just became...
The project was going a little bit over our budget that we already set. So we decided to pull back the reins. You know, let's make room within our current warehouse, which we're currently doing because the machines are coming. That was already, you know, the grant money is coming, the machines are coming. So now we have to pivot, like we said, plan A, B, and C. This is plan B. We're going to clean up the shop floor currently, even though we're going to do that, and move some things, get rid of some things, possibly get a pod to store some things, and just take it one day at a time.
Yeah. So unfortunately, we had to kill the project.
Put it on the back burner.
For the time being, just to move forward, because we're growing and we've got parts to produce. Yeah. And
we would like to keep it all under one lot or one roof, really. Because people always ask us, why don't you go rent down the street or over the corner? And for what we do, you need to have it all together. So we're putting it on the back burner. We're going to go do a little bit more digging and investigating and talk to some more people in the town, see if there's other ways, not around it, but just to help us and see if it's still possible.
Yeah. Obviously on paper, sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, it looks great. Sounds like the right
idea. Yeah. It's been a generational idea. Everyone's talked about it, from Catherine down to us.
Yeah. And I know the area of Fairfield that you're talking about, so I don't think you're really going to disrupt the ecological balance.
No, we didn't think so either, but we'll see what happens. But
if you can't, I'm putting fruit trees out there.
Yeah, we're going to start doing farmland out there.
But to be thankful you're not in the town I am. Sometimes it's hard to even change a sign in this town.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Let alone expand a building.
Yeah.
I think they'd have a heart attack if we proposed that out here. But hey, I get it. Those rules and regs are there for a purpose. Sometimes they don't always make sense to those of us that run businesses and they're looking to grow them, but that's where it is. And compliments to you for having a plan B and C and having that mindset. And I'm sure there was a lot of air let out of the tires when you said, oh gosh, this is going to be not what we thought.
Yeah, it was getting a little too complicated.
Yeah.
It was a tough one.
Looking ahead, as you are starting to lead the latest generation, the next phase, what do the two of you see as you look out into the future, the next 5 years, the next 10 years? What are your vision for the company? If you could share that for a moment.
Hopefully a building expansion. Hopefully we get a little bit more room to grow what we're, but we're looking into other capabilities, other routes we want to get into, as well as hiring some new employees. Because we are growing. We're going to need more hands on deck. And we're just excited for the future. You can pick up.
Yeah, no, I think picking up where Bria left off is employees is definitely something I think we want to invest in. A younger generation, not pushing anybody out or anything like that, but also sure. having that next generation ready to then step in when this current lot, if you yeah. will, of people that we have who are fantastic, they are absolutely the best.
They're the A team.
But when they are ready to retire at a certain point, we have to have that next generation ready to go to help us continue to grow the business. We can only do so much for two people. It mm-hmm. takes a village. We wear many hats around here. Every single person does.
Yeah.
And it's why we are able to be so successful, because everybody's able to step in when somebody's down. But it is getting ready to bring in that next generation and that next leadership of people that we want to help grow and move towards building mm-hmm. a bigger and better business.
Yeah. And I'm thinking with the team, the size you have and the type of work you do, you step in and you're on the varsity team. There's no JV,
yeah.
right?
You're on D1, line one. Let's
yep.
go.
Yep.
So it's needless to say, bringing somebody onto the organization, they've got to fill those shoes quick, right?
It's an extensive interview process. No, but we do take pride in who we hire on and make sure that they have the same outlook and wants. Values and wants and needs, just like everyone here. And mm-hmm. make sure they mesh with the rest of the team, because we don't want to bring on a bad apple and then it, you know, sure. we want to keep it going.
And that's yeah. the way it's always been yeah. here, is it's always been handing down generation after generation, training the trade and yeah. teaching them. And we're doing it still to today. Our current tool and die setup guy, Tyler, he's been here for a few years now, and he's been striving under the leadership of our foreman. So that's the way we want to continue to go. But then also, like we've been talking about, is the new generation of technology that excites people.
Yeah.
People don't need to go to college anymore. They can go to tech school and then they can come over here and we can,
we're ready.
Hey, come on, jump on the EDMs, jump on the CNCs. But that's the way we want to continue to progress, is keep it old school like we always do, then also bring in the new school and bring in that new type of employee that wants to learn on that and build on that.
And I'm so glad you touched on that, Tom, because I think it's starting to shift now, where the next generation coming out of college is saying, wait a minute, maybe I can go into manufacturing. Maybe I can, oh, wow, make way more money than taking that desk job and take on way more authority faster. And have a faster path to growth than I could have with the corporate job. So I think it's taken some time, but I think that finally we're starting to get through to that younger generation that this is a viable path, not only a viable path, this is a great path.
Definitely.
I'm glad you brought that up for sure.
I think it's hard to see when you're at that stage in life too. You just follow the path that you're supposed to follow. And we did, to our extent, we did as well.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't change. I know she wouldn't change. We wouldn't change what our paths have been to get to this point. But at the same time, it is a possibility nowadays. You don't need to worry about going to a four-year school. You can do a trade school. Yeah. You can do this part-time. We've had.
And I think too, the way the world's going is just as valuable, the manufacturing mm-hmm. world currently, and how much US, you know,
made
and is important, and bringing it back.
Absolutely. And with certainly a lot of manufacturers that we work with, we're seeing that retiring phase mm-hmm. or operators who have been with the company 20, 30, sometimes 40 years, they're done. It's
time. Yeah.
They're moving on. And the business operator is thinking, okay, who's going to fill that role? And there's nobody there to step up. So
right.
nice to see that there is that generation that now has the appetite to step in and step up, because let's face it, they're needed.
Mm-hmm.
I've yet to come across so many pictures. Wow, we got way more talent than we need. We don't need anybody. We're fine. We're all set. Everybody's like, bring them on, baby.
Yeah, you know? It is.
Getting back to the family dynamic for a moment. A lot of our listeners are not just family businesses, but oftentimes those that are contemplating, they're there at the crossroads saying, do I get involved in the business or do I take a different path? So what advice might you give to a younger generation who's maybe thinking about stepping into the business, maybe with a sibling or maybe with some other family member, in terms of how do you size that up? And Tom, it sounds like you had taken a different path and then came back in. So maybe you can answer that one first.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think making sure you have passion for it or some desire for it is definitely a key role in it. Don't just do it because it's there. It's, if you don't have the desire or the passion or the want, it's definitely not going to work. You've got to be able to work with people and the people that have been there. It's tough. It's tough sometimes to swallow that pill.
Mm-hmm.
If you can work and it's something that you want to strive and continue on and start a legacy, if that's something that's one of your goals or your desires, that is 100% true in stepping in and continuing what you have built.
And Brielle, how would you address that?
Yeah, I would just say make sure that your values are aligned before you step in, and make sure it's a company, or if you're stepping into a family company, make sure that you're not going to you don't foresee any clashings or anything too crazy, make sure that you're going to enjoy it as well. Tom said, you got to love what you do.
Mm-hmm. Communication.
Before you came in, Tom, did you and Brielle have that conversation? Did you guys kind of have a talk and say, hey, I'm thinking about doing this? Or did you just kind of showed up?
Because it was like our paths were just molded here. And then I think those conversations had to be had after Dad passed and make sure that we were in line for the outlook of the business and the future and our futures, and make sure that we were on track. And those conversations are still being had and made, and making sure that everything is good to go, which so far so good. Yeah.
And a little known to Lee Associates fact, I actually did overlap with my sister, Carol, for about 10 years. And she made the mistake of asking a four-word question many years ago, which was, how can I help? And she got pulled and says, there was nothing of marketing. She was a chemical engineer by trade, but found herself in the world of marketing. But I can certainly attest to how the two of you interact. There's something really special about going to work with a sibling and that level of trust and comfort and confidence. And that whenever she and my dad and I, because the three of us were in the business together, ever had to go do a presentation or work, it was like lightning. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. There was that trust, the synergy. We knew how to play off each other's strengths almost like inherently. And it was magical.
And I think too, we do trade shows together now. And when they see, I still use my maiden name, Frida, for my name tag and everything. It's just easier because my email is like that and everything. But when they see, they look at us and brother, sister, and we're like, yeah. And then that's such a great dynamic and conversation. And then hearing that we're fifth generation, and it's just, like you said, we play off each other and we get a lot of crowds at the trade shows. So it's a lot of fun.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. So last question, if somebody listening wanted to learn more about your journey or really learn more about the company Brewster Washers, what's the best way for them to connect?
I think the best way is to go to our website, brewster-washers.com. And there you can find all of our information. You can request for a quote, or you can also fill out just general information that we can have your information, or you can give us a call.
Awesome. Awesome. Brielle, Tom, thank you so much for sharing your story. It's rare to see a family business span five generations and still feel as personal, grounded, and committed to quality as Brewster Washers is today. So again, we've been speaking with Brielle and Tom Frieda, sibling co-leaders of Brewster Washers, a company with deep roots and a very bright, intentional future. And I'm your host, Ed D'Elia. This is Growing Up B2B. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Again, Brielle, Tom, thanks so much for being with us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks so much for tuning into Growing Up B2B. To explore more episodes and insights, visit podcast.delianet.com. And if you've enjoyed this episode, please give us a rating or review on your podcast platform of choice. Having worked with hundreds of family-led businesses across my career, and being a second-generation leader myself, I'm on a mission to help every family business I meet achieve next-level growth for their organization. So feel free also to connect with me on LinkedIn and let's support each other. You can also find out more about my company at DeliaNet.com. Again, I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, and thanks so much for joining us today. Take care.